We're continuing our lessons here in the book of James. If you'd turn there, and as was read in your hearing this morning, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and of course, verses 9 through 12. As we look at this, we want to be constantly reminded that the book of James is a letter. It is not a book of Proverbs. It's not a lot of hit and miss points and pieces of wisdom that don't connect. James writes this letter to the 12 tribes of the dispersion, that covenant people, those who are in Jerusalem primarily now, those saints, those Christians, those Jews who have obeyed the gospel. And so we want to think of those 12 tribes as James refers to them, of the dispersion. They are the ones that are scattered abroad. In Revelation chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, we often misuse, or premillennialists misuse these phrases of the 12 thrones, the judging of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they talk about the 144,000 that will be there in heaven, and they will be the ones who see Jerusalem that is described in a beautiful way using the 12 great high walls, the gates, the 12 gates, the 12 angels, and the 12 names that are written on them, which are replications or references to the 12 tribes of Israel. So we don't misunderstand that and misuse that as so many do. We want to be able to consider them as James writes this letter. If you remember in our last lesson, it was very clear from James that he wants us to understand some things. He wants us to be able to connect with God. He wants us to see how it is possible in amidst the various trials and tribulations to be able to withstand, to be able to count it all joy, to be able to allow those trials to look at them in the ways that God wants us to allow them to cause our steadfastness to increase so that we may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing, that we will indeed be approved of God as the people who have endured temptation. We will be those who receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love them. James is simply repeating or reiterating, if you will, what he stated in verses 2 and 3. That it's about enduring those various trials. And so we want that mindset. We want to be able to think that way. When trouble comes, when trials come, when various kinds of suffering come, turn to God. Allow God to use the suffering in our lives to strengthen us and to mold us and to cause our steadfastness to be stronger and stronger each and every time. Remember that also, it's not if trials come, it's when trials come. When the trials come, because they certainly are coming. And James says, count it all joy. Remain steadfast through the trials. Don't allow the trials to defeat you, but use them for God's glory and allow them to make you stronger and more like God. Let those trials and testings make you perfect, that you're lacking nothing. Psalm 84 and verse 11 begins with the words, "For our God is great." Psalm 84 and verse 11. We read, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give His grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly." Our God, indeed, is a good and righteous God, our loving Father. He simply provides the wisdom, and all we have to do is ask for it. That was in our last lesson. He promises to provide us the things that we need. And so today we continue this lesson, these verses 9 through 12, with the idea of that we have a reason to rejoice. No matter what it is that you face in life, you have a reason to rejoice. So how do Christians handle the problem of suffering? That's a question that would come to mind. How can we have reason to rejoice while we're under fire, while we are literally suffering, while the weight of the world can sometimes be on our shoulders, when it seems like we, Christians, are the ones that are getting the brunt of most of the trials and tribulations? We're the ones that seem like the whole world is against us. We mentioned that in the class this morning, how terrible this world is. This world hates you when you follow Christ. They're right in your face, as Sister Jane said. They just don't want to hear what you have to say. There is no God, and you need to stop talking about Him. And it gets worse and worse and worse, and yet they're out there living in sin. Literally, living in sin. Not only just the sins that God talks about in the Bible, of adultery and fornication and lasciviousness, disobedient to parents, despiteful, proud, lovers of themselves. Not that, just that. But the greater sin of all is to deny God. And here's people out there that deny God right to your face. They try to destroy the faith of young people from the school grades on up, and they tell you there is no God, and they're rich. They have all the pleasures of life. Everything seems to be going really, really well with them. They're really doing great. And they just keep on going, getting more and more, heaping up more and more prosperity and their health, and oh boy. This is where we begin. James chapter 1 and at verse 9. Let the lowly brother, you think of that word lowly, if you're looking at the youth, are you listening for him? Let the lowly brother, and he says glory in his exaltation. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. The Christian Standard Bible says, let the brother of humble circumstance boast in his exaltation. The English Standard Bible says, let the brother, the lowly brother, boast in his exaltation. Remember that James is very direct when he writes. And he's writing to Christians. He's writing to us. You'll suffer. You're going to go through hard times. You're going to be hated. And now here we are with James painting this picture. The brother of low degree. You just listen to those words, the brother of low degree. How do we as Christians handle that kind of problem of suffering? How can we have reason to rejoice when it seems like all the trials and tribulations just fall upon us? How do we do that? This lowly brother, the brother of low degree, is the one who's being crushed by trials. The one who is the member of the body of Christ, is burdened heavily, dealing with suffering, going through hard times, and all the while he sees that world out there, others seem to be prospering. It reminds me of a song, one of my favorite songs. I only have about 5 or 6 favorite songs. And this is one of my favorites. And you probably know this, and I'm sad that it's not in our hymnal. Because I would love to sing this more often. Farther along. The words. Timid and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested though in the wrong. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. And then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. You know, when I looked up these verses on the internet, I found some verses that I've never seen in our hymnals, in any hymnal. And this is what I read. Tempted and tried, how often we question why we must suffer year after year, being accused by those of our loved ones, even though we've walked in God's holy fear. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. You think that song hits it right on the head, the nail right on the head. And later we'll see about this rich Christian, but right now the lowly brother, the brother who is being pressed by trials, lowly and humble. He's not rich. He's not, the money's not pouring into his bank account. He doesn't have all the finances and the resources of the world. He can't go out and just keep spending and spending and spending like there's no end to money. This brother is the one who is not engaged in sin. And yet he's different from those who are. Never being held to account is what their problem is. But he's faithful. He's humble. He's concerned about the things of God first and foremost. This is the brother who is tempted and tried, living in everyday circumstances for the cause of Christ. It is to this person, James says, glory in your exaltation. Glory in your exaltation. In the other text we read, glory or boast. Boast in your exaltation. What a paradox that is. You know, let the lowly person exalt in their exaltation. You know, I know this is true, but I have to ask, what exaltation is James talking about? Where's he going with this? Seriously, James. Well, this guy is in trouble. He's being crushed. He's being overpowered, seemingly, by all these various trials. He's of low degree. He's poor. And he's that lowly brother. What are you talking about? What exaltation are you talking about? And brethren, we got to go back to the context. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Do you remember what he said? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. That's the King James Version. We understand we're going to experience trials. We know hard times are come. Sometimes it's going to be very difficult. Sometimes it's going to be almost impossible. But as we prevail, as we overcome, we will receive steadfastness, which makes us Christians more complete, more mature in our faith, and brings us to be more like God, like our Savior, who we know firsthand experienced various trials. Count it all joy. And again, it's not that you have jumping up and down for excitement and you're going, oh boy, I'm going to get to experience some trials today. Not at all. It's not a joyful feeling. It's but that you will know with certainty where you stand with God. You will know that you're doing this, going through this, and you're looking to God. You're giving God the glory. God's creating in you a steadfastness that the world can't understand. That peace that surpasses all understanding. The knowledge to live as Christ, to die as gain. And you have that all throughout your sufferings. exaltation is that in your suffering, you're developing the steadfastness, the patience, the endurance. You are a child of God. You know you have an inheritance in heaven awaiting you. You can exalt. Because all the trials, all of this, everything that happens to us in life, whether it be persecution for your faith or whether it be trials in life, God is molding us and He's making us to be the child of God that He wants us to be. That's what it's all about. James will bring this up in future lessons. But you think of James chapter 2 and at verse 5. And James says, "Listen, my brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom which He has promised to them that love Him?" Being poor and facing trials is this man. And James says, let him be exalted. Look and see what riches we have in Christ Jesus. All the blessings, the inheritance, the grace, the salvation, full and free. And the fact is that we're being exalted by our Heavenly Father. Lifted up. Yeah, there are trials. And there's times when you feel like you're all alone. There will be suffering in everybody's life. And times when you want to just throw in that proverbial towel. You just want to give up. But stop. And think. And rejoice. In your exaltation. That you're exalted by God. Remember what is happening. See the blessings beyond the moment. And glorify God. You know, you see, that in being a lowly brother or sister, your faith is being made perfect, precious, genuine, more precious than gold. All the gold of the world. So let the brother of low degree be exalted. Because your life will only be tested and tried and then changed in those times of testing. Listen, my brethren. Has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom which He promised to them that love Him? Never let that go from your mind. James chapter 2 and verse 5. James is saying, see the glory in where you are. What you have. All the blessings, even though it hurts, you can be humble. Even though you are in lowly circumstances, you can be exalted. Remember all the times in God's Word where He talks about the lowly ones? Do you remember that? The weak will be strong, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The dead will be made alive. Ezekiel chapter 7, remember those dead bones? The slaves will be set free. The cursed will be blessed. So let the brother of low degree rejoice in his exaltation. God is the one that will exalt you. And being lowly and poor is not a reason to look down or frown upon yourself. It's a reason to understand and to look and see what great riches you have in Christ. Well, you know, you look at verse 10. But the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. And you see a very big contrast here. You talk about a paradox, a conundrum, this big contrast. Because in verse 10, he says, and if you're listening, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. So now we're not talking about the lowly brother, we're talking about the rich brother. Who is this rich man? Does the word from verse 9, brother, does that carry over to verse 10? That's the big question. Is this person a rich Christian brother, or is he a worldly rich person? Not of the faith. And when you read different commentators, there's like a 50-50 division of those who write those commentaries. Half of them say he's a rich brother. They carry that word from verse 9 over there. And half of them believe that he's not a brother at all. He's a rich man with many worldly possessions. So the question is James contrasting a lowly brother with a rich brother, or is he contrasting a lowly brother with a rich worldly person? And I believe it's the latter, and I'm going to tell you why. There's two simple points. When you look at verse 10, you're going to notice something. Look at that on your pages, verse 10. Notice the latter half of the verse. It says, he will pass away. He will pass away. And if you look at verse 11, the latter part, so the rich man will also fade away in all his pursuits. And we'll address that here in a second. This rich man is like the flower of the field. He's going to perish. Verse 11, the rich man will fade away in all his pursuits. What James didn't say or imply is that the riches fade away. He didn't say the riches. You've got to look at that word he. Look at the word he. He will pass away, not his riches. It isn't that there's a rich Christian brother who's going to be made low, he's going to be made humble because God's going to take away all his riches. The man himself is going to pass away. All, you know, reason it out. It would not be true of a Christian man who has riches that fade away, or that he is a Christian man who is going to be humbled and brought low because he has riches. James is referring to the worldly rich man in contrast with the lowly brother. So what is James doing here? James is comforting the lowly Christian. Although it may be, you know, ironic in some way, but let the rich boast in his humiliation is what the one translator put. Let the rich boast in his humiliation. There will be a reckoning is what he's saying. A time when the rich will be brought down low. A time when they will fade away. When they wither like the grass of the field and the flower falls off and the grace and the fashion of it perishes. But you, brother, That rich man, he's, you know, you boast in your humiliation. That lowly man is going to boast in his exhortation or exaltation. You watch and see what Jesus or God is doing in you, how he is constantly refining your faith, building you up. But he who is rich, his riches aren't bringing glory to God. Don't desire to have what they have, is what James is telling us. We need to understand what takes place here. What will the future be for that rich man? What will the future hold for the child of God? And which one would you choose? Don't do what they do. Don't lust for riches. Don't lust for the world. Just don't. Oh, look. They have everything though, Dave. They have everything. Anything they want, they can just go out and get it. Nothing's withheld. Wouldn't it be nice to be rich? Wouldn't it be nice to be powerful? Wouldn't it be nice to have great respect and honor among men? Freedom to do anything you want to do at any time, period, end. And James is warning you, don't think like they do. Don't think that way. You have everything to gain and they have everything to lose. You have everything to gain and they have everything to lose. That's what we're reading here in verse 10. Because as the flower of the field, he, that rich man, will fade away. Brethren, don't look at the world and think, oh boy, they got it made. They're sitting on top of the world while I'm suffering, just trying to make ends meet sometimes. Oh, how I wish I had what they had. Don't do that. Don't think, why brethren who are righteous aren't getting anywhere sometimes. Why should I keep on serving God? I got all the troubles in the world from that. I just need to give up on God and focus on my worldly pursuits. Focus on my happiness. Focus on my bank account. Focus so I'll be rich like they are. I'll be happy like they are. At least I'll have everything now. James says, no, don't think like that. You need to see the results of the rich, where they end up, where you end up. Make that contrast in your mind. If you remain faithful. And yes, they'll have riches, they'll have status, they'll have power, they'll have all those things right now, but in the end they will be burned up. God will cause them to fade away. God will judge them according to His Word, according to righteousness, and according to them. Their works, what they did and didn't do. Remember from last week, don't be double-minded. That's exactly what James is saying here. There's a connectivity. The context continues to flow. The context. Desire God, not riches. Desire the riches and a home in heaven. Eternal joy, eternal peace. Or are you going to desire the fleeting and passing pleasures of this world? Brethren, we can't look at the world around us as our mirror. Boy, they got it made. We can't do that. We can't do that. We must ask ourselves, where do my loyalties lie? Am I devoted wholly to God? Am I completely devoted to God? Or am I like the person that's riding on the fence that we talked about last week? Can't make up my mind. One foot in the world, one foot in the faith. Do we rely on God sometimes, and other times we just rely on our own strength? You see how the double-minded fits in here? It's like a glove, like it's just fitting together, like a puzzle piece. Don't be longing for what they have and still believe that you will receive anything from God. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, it's easy to look around and see that the things aren't right. It's easy to look around because we live in a sinful world. We're a sinful people, and what we see in the world is a product of sin. Don't desire the product of sin. Don't long for it. Don't strive for it. Because it will, along with the rich, one day fade away and be burned up. It is not God who does not exist that caused all the problems in the world. It's because God doesn't exist in the hearts of the people of this world. It is because we are a sinful people. That is why sin's in the world. Still today. That is why there is so much unrighteousness. That is why there is death in the world. That is why the ungodly will perish. And that is why you don't want to have what they have. Because one day God is going to make it all right. He's going to correct all the wrong. He's going to take all those things and burn them up. But brethren, brothers and sisters, you look. You are the one that can take glory in your exaltation. You are the one that one day will possess eternity. You have eternity before you. And you give everything to God, and one day God's going to give everything to you. Not just a taste. Not just a portion. Everything. And all we have to do is follow Him. James says they will take glory in their humiliation, the rich. I want you to notice something too, verse 11. Verse 11, for no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat that it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes, period. So the rich man will also fade away in all his pursuits. Think of this. All his pursuits. I think it's the American Standard Version that says in all his in the midst of his pursuits, and I like that. In the midst of his pursuits. Here's a rich man. He's not interested in God. He's just so busy with life. He's just going and going and going and accumulating and accumulating. He's not even concerned about his soul. He's not concerned with eternity. The rich man only cares for riches. He only cares for the pleasures of life. And he's going and going and going, and he doesn't even notice God. He doesn't care that one day everything will come to a screeching stop. Think about that. Everything will come to just a crash. Because we know, as we mentioned in last week's lesson, as sure as the sun rises and sets, as the sun rises in the west, death will come. That's something one of two things we absolutely know is going to take place. On that day, all the wealth, all the seeking, all the power, all the accumulation, all the years of fighting for something and more and more and more things, doing what you thought within yourself was right, and you'll stand before the Almighty God. And the rich man is so caught up in his hustle and bustle, acquiring, he doesn't stop to consider eternity. He doesn't stop to consider his own soul. He's so busy in his pursuits. While he's in his pursuits, this is going to happen. Busy in the world, taking care of number one, trying to get ahead. Never realizing that there's something bigger. There's something much bigger. That's your soul. So, brethren, we have to be really careful that we don't fall into that same trap, that same mindset of thinking. We need to look into the mirror of our souls. You hold the Word of God up, as Brother Randy said this morning, that is the mirror of your soul. You look into that mirror. And listen, what you see is what you get. Spiritually speaking, you look in that mirror, you know what you do right. You know what you do wrong. If our heart deceives us, listen, God is greater than our hearts. What do you see about yourself when you look into the mirror of your soul? Are you always busy? Are you pushing and pursuing all these things of the world? Are you spending your days working and hard and earning a living, taking care of your family first and foremost, having no time for faith? Is the time that you spend on your career so important? Your hobbies, your friends, the time that you spend seeking pleasures greater than seeking God and His people? Has this world caused you to forget why you're here? Has the world caused you to forget you're only here for a short time, a vapor? And then you'll stand before the Almighty God. Give an account of yourself. If you're the brother of low degree, you're going to be exalted. If you're the rich, you're going to be made low. You're going to be humbled. You're going to be exalted in your richness, but not in God. You know, it's easy to forget. It's easy to think, oh, I got all the time in the world. God's not going to come here tomorrow. It's easy to get caught up in life, in the rush of life. It's easy to forget God's goodness, God's mercy, and God's grace, and God's Word. It's easy to forget what Jesus did on the cross. It's easy to forget that there is a day coming when God will raise up the dead in Christ, the faithful alive. He'll destroy all the sinners in hell, burning, burning, burning. Brethren, take a look in the mirror. Do that every day of your life. Take a good, honest, sincere, genuine look at yourself in the mirror, and what you see is what you get. And what needs to be changed, repent and change it. What needs to be exalted and made stronger, do so. But brethren, don't forget. Don't forget. Don't get caught up in the scheduling. Don't have a to-do list that's that long, never-ending, and doesn't really include God. Don't get so caught up in work. Don't get caught up in play. Don't get caught up in the fellowship with the world, the family, friends, hobbies, entertainment. And then forget the riches of God. Don't be like the unbelievers who will be judged in their humiliation before God. Don't forget the lowly brother will be exalted in the presence of God's glory. Don't forget that you are a member of the family of God. Don't forget that though you may not have so much as other people in this world in many ways, you do have something they don't have. You know that your soul is secure in Christ because of the blood of the Lamb. Don't forget that God one day will make everything right. That is why the lowly, the man of low degree, can be exalted. You can glory in that exaltation. That is why the rich will be made low. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is tried, when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them or those who love him. This is a companion verse. You read this verse through very carefully. It's a concluding thought that I think fits very well with verse 11. So the rich man will also fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Promised. Makes me think of John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? What a prize. The crown of life. Eternity. Joy in heaven with the Father and the Son. Won't it be worth it all? Hold on. Don't give up. You'll live through various trials. Just remain steadfast. Glorify God in those trials. Endure the suffering for the sake of Christ. And James is saying, stand up, stand up, stand up. That word approved that you see there in verse 12. When he has been approved. We all know that word, dokimos, is the Greek word, and it refers back to refining of metal. They heat it all up, put stuff in it, and it takes all the dross, the things that are no good, throw it away, and what's left is that beautiful metal. That's what God's doing in our life every time. Taking away the dross and leaving that precious, precious, precious metal. And what remains is more precious than all the gold in the world. Proving what is genuine and what is not corrupt in the eyes of God. I thank you for your patience and for listening. I hope that this lesson's helped you in some way. And I encourage you to look into that mirror. If you're here today and you've not looked in the mirror, look at it now. You can do that. It's not a physical mirror. It's a spiritual mirror. You look at yourself and say, have I done what the Lord God has asked me to do? Have I obeyed the gospel? Do I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? I understand that I'm a sinner. Am I willing to repent? I'm looking in that mirror. Is that me? Am I that sinner that hasn't yet been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? If that's you, get up. Make that faithful confession here before this audience. Be baptized for the remission of your sins and be added to the body of Christ, and you can continue life building and building and building towards that home in heaven one day. And if you're a Christian and you look in that mirror and you say, oh, I'm not testing myself very well. I'm not withstanding. I'm not really doing what I should be doing. Get up. Repent. Be restored. Turn away from that which is offensive to God. See that in the mirror. Make changes. Remember, every time you look in the mirror, what you see is what you get. And there's no way around it. So, we have an invitation song this day. And the song, I'm glad that song was selected, song number 617, a new creature, because that's what you can be. Regardless of your circumstance, simply by obeying God today. If you have a need to do so, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.